मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविराविर्मयेधि वेदस्य महानीस्थ श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासि अनेन धीतेन होरात्रान् संदधामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारम् अवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् अवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So today is our sixth hymn, I think, or seventh. One, two, three. It is seventh hymn. So there are 12 hymns to Surya Savitri in the Rig Veda. We are in the middle, exactly. So I'm not sure that we will have time to complete our studies. That's what I was wondering, how we could complete in four sessions, six hymns. It's not possible. So we would need to have two more either sessions to get them somewhere or to finish it till the end of December. We have to decide what to do. So today is Bharadvaja, Barhaspatya. It's one of those great rishis who composed the whole six mandala of the Rig Veda. It is all his. And he has one hymn to Savitar. I will read in my reconstructed way. So there are Jagati, three first Jagatis and three last Trishtubhus. Six verses in this hymn. Udushya devah savita hiranyaya bahu ayamsta savanaya sukratuh ghritena pani abhiprushnute makho yuva sudaksho Rajaso vidharmani, yuva sudaksho, rajaso vidharmani, devasya vayam savituh savimani, shreshte siyama vasunascha davane, yo vishvasya dvipado yaschatushpado, niveshane prasave chasi bhumanah, Adabdhebhih savitav payubhishtuvam Shivebhiradya paripahi no gayam Hiranyajihvah suvitaya navyase Raksha makirno aghasham sa ishata Udushya devah savita damuna Hiranyapanif pratidosham asthat Ayo Hanur, Yajato Mandrajihva, Ada Shushe Suvati Bhuri Vamam. Udu Ayam, Upavakteva Bahu, Hiranyaya Savita Supratika, Divo Rohansi Aruhat Prithivyah, Ari Ramat Patayat Kachit Abhavam. Vamam Adya, Savitar vamam ushvah. Dive dive vamam asmabhyam savih. Vamasya hi kshayasya deva bhurech. Ayadhiya vama bhajah siyama. You can see how the verse is changing according to the stress in the word, and not following the same pattern all the time. So it becomes, every verse becomes unique. Udushya devah savita hiranyaya bahuvayamsta savanaya sukratuh gharatena pani abhiprushnute makho yuvasu dakshu rajasu vidharmani. So here's a mistake. Abhi has to be with low pitch. Savitar, the god of perfect will, Sukratu, Devah, stretched, or how do you say when you do this, stretched up, but there is other word also.
Stretched. Reached.
Reached, yes. Also. Yes, he's stretched up his golden arms to create light and life. Savanaya, for the creation, yeah, or for the extraction of soma. He showers his hands with ghrita. He purifies his power with knowledge. Hands are usually represent power, and so he showers ghritena pani, his two hands, abhiprushnute, he washes with ghrita, with the clarified butter. So, with the ghee, yes, with the clarified butter is the clarity, mental clarity. So with mental clarity he illumines his force of action. Yam, you are perfectly discerning the well-arranged space. Sudaksha, Rajasah, Vidharmani. Makho also can be cheerful, happy. I don't know why it is not here. It should be one more word. Young and happy. Oh, cheerful. I will get that later. So,
joyful.
Yeah, joyful.
Full of power, perfectly discerning the well-arranged space. Rajasah Vidharmani Sudaksha. Vidharmani, here Dharman in Rigveda is used in the sense of holding. Vidharman is holding in details, holding in the smallest, minutest properties and clarities, everything. Vastly holding, yes? So vastly holding Rajasah of the space Sudaksha, the one who has Daksha, perfect discernment. Daksha is also the supramental quality of discernment, the thought power, all seeing and all distributing power of supermind, Daksha. Sudaksha is the one who has that power. The Bahuvrihi compound, whose power is perfect. Devasya vayam savituh savimani shreshthe siyama vasunascha davane yo vishvasya dvipado yash chatushpado niveshane prasavichasi bhumanah. May we be settled in the best guiding force of the god Savitar. There is no settled, but there is siyama. May we be. Yeah? May we be savimani. In the guide, savimani is that also from rutsu, as savitar is produced. I had to put it here, but I didn't put it most probably. Yes, I put savimani, locative. Setting in motion, investigating direction, guidance. So, in the guidance of the god Savitar, savituh savimani, in his guidance and motion, in his instigation, may we be always. It's like the Savitri, Gayatri mantra, that we fix our consciousness upon him and may he promote us, our fixations. We fix and our fixations he will move. Here the same idea, may we be in his guidance, in his motion. Shreshthe, vasunascha davane. which brings us the indwelling shining wealth within. In it is Saviman, which is Davane, which gives us or brings us, yes, which gives us, imparts us with Vasunach of the wealth, Shreshthe, in this supreme giving of the wealth. In the best imparting of the wealth, may we be settled in this guiding force or in this movement of the God Savitar. Yo vishvasya dvipado yashchatushpado niveshane prasave chasi bhumanah. Difficult syntax. And of the multitude, you are the Lord. Yahu vishvasya of all dvipadach yachchatushpadach asi niveshane prasave bhumanach. Who is, simply to say, you are who, the one who is, you are who is, because yah is third person and asi is the second person. You are who is the in the niveshane, in the introduction into the darkness, and prasave, in the motion out of the darkness of this bhumanah, of this creation, of all who are dvipad and chatushpad, of all who have double and quadruple relations with the cosmos. Now, Shubhendu somewhere says, maybe it is here even, that this is a very heavy philosophical term, and he didn't want to discuss it very much. Dvipad and chatushpad. And he says usually it is translated for man and animals. Yes, because man is dvipad of two legs and chatushpad is of four legs. But it is not that. He says it has a deeper meaning. Dvipad is of higher relations, of soul's relations, human and divine, he says. Two states of being. And chatushpad of four states of being, related to nature. And there we can see physical, vital, mental, and supramental states of being. These are like Brahman, layers of nature in which soul dwells. So soul has two poises. One is unborn, Atman beyond, and other is involved psychic being. These two poises, it is double relation, dvipad. There is no more other relation in this relation. The soul has is seeking always for the beloved self unborn. And there is other relation with the being is chatushpat, where there are levels of the body. There is a body, there is a vital part of it, there is mental and supramental part of this body in which soul dwells. And it's quite interesting, because this reflects exactly that what Sri Aurobindo speaks in The Life Divine about the double process of evolution. One is of the body, which is transmitted by heredity, and other is by rebirth, when the soul comes, takes the body, and then goes and rests, and again comes and takes. So there are two simultaneous processes of evolution going on. And these are reflected here in Dvipad and Chatushpad. Yesterday when we had a class on Rudra, I had an insight on this, which is related to this topic, on what Krishna says in the Gita on the two paths, Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. It's exactly the same story again. Uttarayana is Devayana, and Dakshinayana is Pitriyana. Pitri path, path of Pitris, and path of gods. And in the Gita, though it is always interpreted that the man is to choose path of gods and go to be, to go out of manifestation, to be not born again. When he follows the path of the gods, he will come to the state where he is not born again. But when he follows the path of Pitris, he will be born again and again. But in the Gita it is not said. I just saw it for the first time after knowing Gita for 25 years and reading it all the time. I noticed that Krishna does not say that it is preferable to go the way of the gods. He says that the yogi who knows both, he finds his way out. Both. Not one. Not that Pitriyana has to be dropped. And I see here a big shift in understanding, and what Sri Aurobindo says also about liberation or mukti, that mukti actually is not possible in the purest, highest sense as it was seen in the post-Vedic tradition, to drop the nature and to go. It's simply not possible, because nature will continue its work. And he speaks about it in The Life Divine, that our ego sense, which wants to be dropped, which we want to drop for the mukti, we may drop our individual ego sense, but there is a greater ego sense of the nature. What will you do with that ego sense? Now that greater ego sense of the nature will drag you down for its work, because all work here in time and space is done by that means, by Pitriyana means. And by Devayana the soul is rising to its freedom, and by Pitriyana it is being engaged more and more into the material substance, into the manifestation. So the way out to the freedom is through manifestation. And these two paths are simultaneously seen as double process of evolution, which Sri Aurobindo describes. The same vision is in the Isha Upanishad. Vidya and avidya. By avidya, one is crossing over death, and by vidya, one enjoys immortality at the same time. So while crossing through the field of death, so to say, through the field of time and space, through manifestation, one has to have already the perception of vidya, of that by which we can enjoy immortality here. We do not enjoy immortality there. It's not there. Immortality can be only in the context of mortality. It's a very interesting shift in understanding what is mukti. And why I'm saying all this for so long? Because here we can see Niveshane Prasave Bhumanah. In both poises, in engaging it, introducing it, pulling it in and pushing it out, at the same time, Savitar promotes this manifestation. There are as if two hands he has. With one hand, it's somewhere said, he is introducing all immortals and mortals into manifestation, and with other hand he pulls them out simultaneously. It's not either-or movement. By the way, it is not even possible either-or. It's only in the mind possible to think that we are choosing one of those movements, because we can't see both together. In here, in this vision, I see that fundamental integralism, because this is not really something of the kind which you choose with a partial mind, undeveloped mind. This vision is fundamentally new, always. It can't be, there is no preference for either going up or going in. It was seen like this. So even Gita, in this sense, I finally discovered, because Gita was criticized exactly for this. And Sri Aurobindo even criticizes this passage. He says, oh, it's an ancient tradition, you know, that even him in one place. And I was thinking, how come? Never was fully happy with these two, Devayana, Pitriyana, because you know them from the Brahmanas. In Brahmanas, it is speculated quite a bit on these two paths. And the year, the whole year is seen as two hemispheres. Year is seen as the whole cosmos. So the upper hemisphere, the hemisphere of the gods, it is that rising of the sun, and the hemisphere of the lower of the Pitris is going down. That is, so to say, the how do we call this? Fall semester, and we have two semesters. So these two semesters are dividing one year as a one cosmos into two parts, which are simultaneously present for the soul to become free and to manifest itself, and manifest the divine.
Can I ask a question? Reading, do you refer Syama or Siyama?
Yes, it's a reconstructed reading for the sake of poetry. Yeah? Yes.
In regard to this, there's one more nice, interesting thing to observe, because on Monday we talked of accent, is Dvipada and Chatushpada. How is it that on Dvipada the accent is on the pada, and on Chatush it's on the four? Here it's on the number, and there it's on the four. How is it?
Also interesting, yes.
You would think it doesn't matter if you say two or four, if the food is accented, why should it change the number?
No, first of all, chatush is two syllables, dvi is one, it can be because of that. Yeah, and this accent is not altered throughout the Vedas. It's the same in every word wherever you meet, in other hymns. That means it is authentic. It's not arbitrary, suddenly Rishi decided that that would be convenient in that way. Which is not the case with other samhitas, by the way. If you go to Taittiriya or any other, it's already gone. There's so many things which are very doubtful. So, it's only in the Rig Veda. Yeah. So, the whole thing is like, may we be settled in the best guiding force of the god Savitar, which brings us the indwelling shining wealth within, and of the multitude, you are the Lord, who the whole universe in its double and quadruple existence manifests in matter and urges to evolve. So he drags everything in, all the spirit in, and he pulls it out at the same time. And it seems to me that this is the only way to explain how one and the same existence can be seen as something else. Because there is no, how would you really see it, that it, the same existence would have two poises, transcendental and involved here on this side, if that movement would not be there. It's that movement which twists everything and tilts the orbit of the sun, as Sri Aurobindo says, and the sun is seen as involved, as darkened, but it is the same sun. There is only one sun. There are not two suns. But the sun which is uninvolved is discovering the sun which is involved, tilted in its orbit by this movement of Savitara. it's the thing which we can't really know, and our mind is not capable of knowing it. Adabdhebhi savitah payubhishtuvam shivebhir adya paripahino gayam Hiranyajihva suvitaya navyase raksha makirno Aghasham sa ishata. With you, unconquerable and merciful powers of guidance, you, O Savitar, protect our realization today. O God of the golden tongue, for our perfect journey and for a new discovery, you protect us. May none of ill will lead us astray. Adabhe bhih savitav payu bhih. Payu is from root pa, to protect. But to protect in a strange way, to fill in. Protecting means filling in. From pa has two meanings. One pa is to drink and other is to protect. There are other meaning roots which mean to protect, like rakshati, for example. First class you studied. Rakshati is to scare away from the surface, not entering in to protect. This pa is a protection from within. When you fill in fully, then you protect, because inside there is a being of another kind. It happens many times in the Veda that you see that particular connotation. In that context it is used. So payubhih, by these fillings or by these protections, O Savitar, which are not conquerable, adabdhe bhih, adabdha, which you cannot step on or suppress. Tvam, you, shive bhih, with these merciful protections, adya, today, paripahi, you fill us fully in, protect us, no gayam, our movement forward. Naha, our gayam, from root ga to go. It's Vedic word, you will not find it in classical Sanskrit. Gayam would be rather some song, but not gayam as a movement. Hiranya jihva, whose tongue is golden, suvitaya navyase. We are meeting again this word suvita, moving perfectly, and durita, moving ill. Suvitaya, for perfect motion, navyase, which is new. Raksha. Raksha we finally have. Another protection. Raksha, yes. Protect us already from outside. Makirna, that no one, makih, no one, as, nach, aghashamsa, who has ill will or ill intention, ishata, possess. That no one should possess us with ill intention. Now it's always this, that there is someone there to have ill intention and to come in. There is always this abyss somewhere, or chaos, or inconscient with its powers, which Savitar on the way has to protect us in this movement, in this building up, in this manifestation. It seems that that abyss is always there. It is something which is which Aurobindo only looked into deeply and plunged into it, yes? But what he discovered on the other side, at the bottom of that abyss, when he was digging into that rock, as he says, that rock, infinite rock, as he calls it, it is Vedic, Adri, that foundation of inconscient. When he was digging in, he found that on the inside there is a light. That light, which is described here as Savitar, embraces the night from both sides. That light of the supermind, yes, which alone can undo those foundations. There is no other force which can really undo them. That's why Sri Aurobindo says that supermind was known in the Veda, and in a few Upanishads mentioned, and was not known in the Gita. So in this movement there will be all these forces which will try to join and to deviate us or to lead us astray. We know them by doing this yoga. We know how they work on a smaller scale, but they are working also on the bigger scale very well, very efficient. And Sri Aurobindo himself says, I have 1,001 wound in my being. These wounds are from those battles with those forces. Udushya devah savita damuna hiranyapani pratidosham asthat ayohanur yajato mantra jihva adashu shesuvati bhurivam. Savitar, the god stood up to meet the night. Pratidosham asthat, ud asthat. He is rising, facing the night. The lord of the house, Damuna, with his golden hands, Hiranyapani, with his iron jaws at second palace, Ayohanu, Ayas, Ayas is iron, Hanu, jaw, with his iron jaws, Yajatah, Mandrajiva, with a sweet tongue, Mandrajiva, or with blissful tongue, with the tongue of bliss, Yajatah, the one of the sacrifice. He creates for the giver the vast delight. Adashushe suvati bhuri vamam. Bhuri vamam is also a Vedic term. Vamam is this delight. Bhuri is great or multitude. English doesn't have this manyness word, so it's always so tricky to use this word. Manifold delight. Suvati, he is pressing for the dashushe, for the one who gives himself. For the one who surrenders to this movement, he gives the manifold delight. Now, why he is with iron jaws, I can't tell you. Most probably nobody can really resist his way of enjoying this world. Everything is eatable for him. With iron jaws he can crack any... I do not know, simply. If you have some ideas, please shoot. Udu ayam upavakteva bahu hiranyaya savita supratika divo rohansi aruhat prathivyah ariramat patayat kachit abhavam. Up he has risen as a friend to guide us safe. Extending his golden hands, Savitar supremely beautiful, he grew to the heights of heaven and earth, preventing the terrible powers of the dark abyss from entering, making them flee away. Upavakta iva. Upavakta is the one who guides, the guidance, the guide. Who, or director even we can use, the one who directs, as if a director he expands his hands, he stood up as if a director above, with his golden hands, supratika, extremely beautiful, you know, or perfect.
Sometimes even fronting us.
Yes, fronting us perfectly. Doesn't make sense? Divo Rohansi, he grew to the heights of heaven and earth. Divo Rohansi Aruhat Prithivya. Divaha Prithivyaha Rohansi Aruhat. Yes? He grew, he Aruhat, to the heights Rohansi of heaven and earth. Divaha Prithivyascha. Preventing, Ariramat, or stopping even, Ram, to stop. Stopping Kachit Abhvam, something of that abhava, of non-existence, patayat, which is falling or which is flying in, or making them fly away, patayat, as injunctive. Making them fly away, he stops them from entering. So there are few interpretations of this, of course, and we can read what Griffith, how Griffith translates it, because these are actually what poor Westerners could know about all these matters when they were translating Rig Veda at the beginning of 20th century. They put all they knew about history into that, and it sounds sometimes so strange. Griffith is the best translation, by the way, because he is not loading it with that material. Historical and philosophical. He is trying to follow literary. So if we read his translation, we will see how it sounds. Like a director, Savitar has extended his golden arms, exceeding fair to look on. He has gone up the heights of earth and heaven and made each monster fall and cease from troubling. He is translating in a poetic way, you feel? He has a poetry in each verse. Vama madhya savitar vama mushva dive dive vama smabhyam savih vamasya hi kshayasya deva bhurih ayadhiya vama bhajah siyama. Delight you make for us today, O Savitar, delight tomorrow. You make or distill or press out for us delight day after day. May we become, O God, with the help of this meditative thought, the enjoyers of delight, with the crowded multitudinous indwelling of delight. The thing is that the major function of Savitar is to distill the delight. To distill from where? From the beyond. Or from within. Beyond we call it because it's not on the surface of our consciousness. So it is within, and the delight is to be brought in. So what he does, he brings this delight into the being and consciousness of ours, with which we have to grow. So if the fire is lit, then the delight is the food for this fire to grow. It is that delight by which the power of Rudra grows and moves us to the fulfillment of ourselves, to the highest fulfillment. So without this fuel of delight, of soul, which Savitar extracts for us to move, there will be no movement of consciousness. It is because of that delight that our divine powers in us move. Everybody is seeking after that delight. Even Rakshasas, even Asuras. You remember the churning of the ocean? They all want that Amrita. Only Rakshasas and Asuras, they gave up early. They saw the beautiful woman. They thought that delight is already there. Why to go for Amrita? But the gods knew that it was a trick. It was Vishnu himself who turned up to be a beautiful woman. So they gave up, they gave to that woman the Amrita, to Vishnu, just for the sake of having the delight in the embodiment, in the form. They are so, ultimately seeking the fundamental realization in the form, asuras. It is their characteristic. Gods knew the trick, but asuras, even if they would know the trick, they would not be able to resist that possibility to have the delight embodied in the form. So this delight which Savitar extracts from the depth of our consciousness, that ananda which he brings from the transcendental in, is a fuel here for the growth of the divine in manifestation. Without it, there will be no growth of the divine here. And we know that the only thing why we are seeking the divine and we want to know is this delight. By the way, it's the only proof that we are on the right path. If there is no delight, then there is no proof that the path is right. It's by that delight that we find our way to the divine. Of course, it can mislead also, because delight is everywhere. But even then, otherwise, why we should move, at all, or do something, or seek after something? Why, if there is no delight? Delight is already in seeking. It's a fuel of that seeking. Why we should know anything? Is there something in that knowledge that we want? It's the delight we want. Knowledge brings us to that delight of knowing ourselves, of being in the light. So the delight is conscious existence. More consciousness grows in this being, more delight can be there. And the last phrase is the most beautiful, ayadhiya. By this meditative thought, or by this higher thought, which is fixed upon that delight of Savitar, vama bhaja siyama, may we become the partaker or the enjoyer of this delight. It's quite interesting. Vamasya kshayasya, of the delight which is dwelling or which is living, the delight which is inside manifestation, a lot of it, bhurech, of this many delights which are inside manifestation, may we be the enjoyers or the partakers. So this delight is to come in and manifest the divine consciousness. It feeds it. It gives it strength. The light is growing by the delight and not by itself. So this is the whole hymn. You can also find that in these hymns you find hardly anything which is of particular time or belongs to particular culture or to some personalities or some problems. It is in such a impersonal and universal language spoken that we hardly can even understand what it is. So we need to reinterpret it for ourselves. Speaks in such a vast scope. All these words mean many things, and not one These are not fixed terms, though they are fixed in their character. Yes, so that's for today. We can read also the last few paragraphs which I didn't read from the last time for On the Delight, which is quite interesting to see again. It also relates, because Bhaga Savitri, and he is Savitar, he has this quality of bringing that Bhaga into manifestation. It is from Rutsu, to distill it, to bring Soma, to create the ambrosia, the amrita, and to bring it in. It is his particular feature.
But also Bhaga,
Yes, I know, Bog. Bog is God, yes? Mm-hmm. We have it from Bhaga. It's already, yeah.
So in the Islamic languages, people brought the delight, they still have some root meaning there, or they think just it means God. Or they also feel it is lost in the common language, you don't memorize it as a
No, we have божественное, Боже, also yes, богатство and more words even.
Some kind of a richness.
Yeah.
Which fits values.
Yes, wealth, as delight.
That share. Like yeah. As Боже, this food.
Yes. Both, yes. So, for in the creation of Bhaga Savitri, in his perfect and faultless sacrifice, there is a double sense of the word Sava, losing forth that from which Savitar is produced, used of the creation and the sacrifice, the libation of the Soma. Man stands absolved from sin and blame by the Ananda, Anagasah, blameless in the sight of Aditi, fit for the undivided and infinite consciousness of liberated soul. The Ananda, owing to that freedom, is capable of being in them universal. So once man is preparing that perception, he will have a food for himself, which is more universal. Which Savitar provides. He extracts, distills that soma for the soul ready to enjoy it. They are able to hold by their thought all things of the delight, Vishvavamani. For in the Dhi, the understanding that holds and arranges, there is right arrangement of the world, perception of right relation, right purpose, right use, right fulfillment, the divine and blissful intention in all things. Now, it's nearly impossible for us to understand what this right arrangement can be, right purpose, right use, but that is the dynamic truth in manifestation, which is seeking its fulfillment here. It wants to rearrange things in such a way that everything will be right and related in a right the highest sense of the divine. Yes. It is the universal divine, the master of the Sat, Satpati, from whom all things are created in the terms of the truth, Satyam, that the sacrifices today by means of the sacred mantra seek to accept into themselves under the name of Bhaga Savitri. It is the creator whose creation is the truth, whose sacrifice is the outpouring of the truth through the outpouring of his own Ananda. His divine and unerring joy of being into the human soul. Our soul rejoices every time when we make a right movement. within the soul enjoys every time this, feels the presence of that ananda. And that ananda is given by Savitar for the soul to find way out. Soul which is engaged in this particular body, involved in the body. He, as Surya Savitri, master of the truth, goes in front of both this night and this dawn of the manifest consciousness and the unmanifest, the waking being and the subconscious and superconscious, whose interaction creates all our experiences. And in his motion, he neglects nothing, is never unheeding, never falters. He takes into account everything, sees everything, understands everything. He goes in front of both, bringing out of the night of the subconscious the divine light, turning into the beams of that light the uncertain or distorted reflections of the conscient. And always the thought is rightly placed. And this is the that ability of the mind to see it right. The thought is rightly placed. Once it is rightly placed, you can see where what belongs. And the distortion of the being is corrected. The source of all error is misapplication, wrong placing of truth, wrong arrangement, wrong relation, wrong positing in time and space, object and order. But in the master of truth there is no such error, no such stumbling, no such wrong placing. Surya Savitri, who is Bhaga, stands between the infinite and the created worlds within us and without. All things that have to be born in the creative consciousness he receives into the Vijnana. He receives into the Vijnana. It's Vijnana is that link between the transcendental, which receives transcendental and pours it out into manifestation. There he puts it into its right place, in the divine rhythm, by the knowledge that listens and receives the word as it descends, and so he loses it forth into the movement of things. Ashravayati shlokena prachasuvati. When in us each creation of the active ananda, the prajavat saubhagam, becomes thus out of the unmanifest, received and heard rightly of the knowledge in the faultless rhythm of things, then is our creation that of Bhaga Savitri. And all the births of that creation, our children, our offspring, praja, apatyam, are things of the delight, vishvavamani. This is the accomplishment of Bhaga in man, his full portion of the world's sacrifice. Now the sacrifice itself can be seen as the pouring of that soma into the fire of the divine consciousness which is growing here. Pouring and feeding the growth of the divine consciousness of the fire. That is the sacrifice. The delight descends and brings to birth all the creatures here.
It's also interesting that this thing, which you did not 2 weeks ago, it's almost a commentary on the thing which you did today. It's
yeah.
That both spheres have the same background.
Yes, and we will go to Vasishtha, and it will be one more the same thing, differently spoken. Savitara is from Utsu, to distill this delight. And that's how he is different from all other godheads. He is bringing the transcendental ananda into the moment, into the movement here of the divine consciousness. Feeds it, takes care of it, promotes it by this ambrosia.
This is almost a description here what Aurobindo does there, at least the last words of how he describes it in Savitrida Mantra, almost how it works in that rhythm.
Yeah. And there he puts it into its right place, in the divine rhythm of the knowledge. There where? In Vijnana, in the supermind. In the supermind, all things are already arranged in the divine rhythm. And there you have to come down. That rhythm is shining out in other, over mental mind, in the intuitive mind, and down into the lower hemisphere. That rhythm is maintained there. That rhythm cannot change the basic of inconscient, of our mental consciousness, because the origin of that rhythm is not there in the over mental consciousness. It's in the supramental, where it is being generated. So that generator has to be brought into that, then it will change. Otherwise it will only illuminate but not change it. That's what Aurobindo discovered in late 30s. That the over-mental consciousness cannot change the inconscient ground. So this is the end of Bharadvaja's hymn. Shall we end with a minute of silence and have tea?